Immigration has, of course, been a topic on the trail, and there is concern in some towns that immigrants don't assimilate or learn the language. But here in New York, the concern is that languages are being lost. Come with us and take a listen. Take a walk down 115th Street in what used to be known as Spanish Harlem. I stopped in a market where a Bengla-speaking merchant made sandwiches for me and two Spanish-speaking customers.
Bangla, just Bengali.
From Bangladesh?
Yes, I come from Bangladesh. How are you? How are you? Kemon asen?
Kemon asen?
Kemon asen.
How we say kemon asta?
Yeah, how do you say,
como es, like, how are you doing?
How are you? Apni kemon asen? Apni kemon asen?
Take a cab, meet a citizen of the world. Well, now, where are you from originally, sir?
India.
And what's your native language?
Punjabi. Originally from the Punjab. That's the Punjab state. Mostly time I prefer to speak Punjabi with the family, with friends.
Why is that important to you?
Because if you cannot speak with your children language, then your language is dead.
Or you could hop a train. From the city, take the 7, the E, or the F trains out to Queens. Get off at Jackson Heights. You emerge into a soundscape better than the best jazz.
Yes, I don't know. So many languages in New York, yeah?
A woman from Nepal. Further down the street, a flock of women in native garb, long dresses and scarves, dart like birds trying to cross busy Roosevelt Avenue. Where are you from?
Tibet.
Yeah, beautiful outfits. Oh, don't get run over.
Thank you so much.
You hear Korean, Russian, the overhead elevated train, yes, it's this loud, competes with the languages of over a dozen countries and with the traffic.
Main jo hai India se aaya hai. I am coming from India.
And that's Hindi?
Yeah. Aapka bahut bahut dhanyavaad.
What does that mean?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Inside the Himalayan Yak Tibetan restaurant, a young woman interpreted for an older man. Do you ever worry that your language, you or your children will stop using your home language? He seemed to be nodding yes.
Yes. He says that, you know, they're going to forget their own language.
But at a table, a gaggle of American-born 20-somethings chatters away in their parents' language.
Absolutely. I mean, we all grew up together, so, you know, Tibetan is more of like the common language for us, too.
And you're not interested in cutting that off from your life?
Absolutely not. I think it's very important to keep that, you know, to try to speak as much as possible.
Cross Roosevelt Boulevard, and you have to stop at the Kebab King Diner. It's packed with patrons speaking Urdu, an ancient language with a powerful history having to do with the suppression of different languages during British rule. Urdu also took on a new life when Pakistan was formed, so it's emotional for these Pakistani men.
Certainly, we are really worried about our kids because they really don't speak a native language. We are very much worried about that. They have to know about the culture.
They need English for the education purpose, for profession purpose, both. We teach our language. The Urdu came from Arabic and Persian.
So knowing your language isn't just knowing the language, it's knowing about your country.
Yeah, you know, it is identification, you know, now. It is identification.
We are worried about it.
The voices of immigrants in New York who worry that their children won't speak their native language. But what about parents who worry that their language will be one of those that disappears altogether?
Languages that were probably not going to be around by the end of the century. Threatened languages, endangered languages.
That's Daniel Kaufman, professor of linguistics at the Graduate Center of the University of New York and a creator of the Endangered Language Alliance, which is working to identify and record dying languages.
Garifuna is an Arawak language spoken in Central America by an African descendant population. Nahuatl is one of the larger indigenous languages of the Americas spoken in Mexico. Ikota, a Bantu language spoken in Gabon.
Mwaitwame.
It's global anthropology, but it's here.
Yeah. The famous anthropologist Claude Lévi-Strauss said that something like everything worthwhile finding you can find in New York. And it's true. There's two kinds of fears. I mean, everybody wants their children to continue their culture, but the fear is even more serious when the culture itself is not being passed down even back home. It can become illegal to speak your language. Children can be beaten in school if they're caught speaking their language. The fear on the part of governments is that individual identities, individual languages will then kind of spur some independence movement, people will break away. And exactly the opposite is true. It's when governments suppress other identities and suppress ethnicities and languages that people rebel and want to break away. There were so many people in the city really eager to share their languages with us. People in their own countries, oftentimes, they've never even heard of their language. So to find someone in New York who cares, it can be, you know, something significant for them.
Esposo.
Husband.
Husband?
Yeah.
Husband.
We met up with Daniel at the Little Sisters of the Assumption Community Center on the East Side. Young mothers, babies in tow. To the untrained eye, it appeared they'd all speak Spanish, but they all speak completely different languages. This woman speaks Mam, a Mayan language from Guatemala. Daniel has to first teach her Spanish and English for words like husband and wife to find out what she'd say in Mam. And listen, how different it is.
¿Cómo se dice esposa y esposo en Mam?
Esposa Anshuhal.
Uh-huh.
Mi esposo Anchmil.
Anchmil.
Anchmila o Agugi.
Some of the indigenous Mexicans, they come here without any Spanish, come all the way here just speaking their indigenous language, which survived colonialism and the determination of the Mexican government to actually wipe out these languages. Mexico is actually very unique in having 11 completely independent language families that bear no relation whatsoever to each other. In some cases, yes, there's people who are the only speakers of their language in New York City. Someone we work with speaks a language called Mahongwe from Gabon. Another person I worked with speaks a language called Mamuju from Indonesia.
That's got to be lonely.
I don't know. That's what people always ask them. Is it lonely? What happens is they tend to forget that they speak this language. They tend not to use it.
That's how we come to the endangered languages.
Yeah.
But what do you say to people who say, but wait a second, this is supposed to be the melting pot, melt those languages down like bars of gold and have everybody assimilate in one?
Well, so in New York, it's always been a debate whether we're a melting pot or a mosaic, right? In terms of language, it's been asked if New York City may be, is it going to be the biggest linguistic graveyard in the world, or is there hope for actually keeping these languages alive over more than two generations? Will it be a linguistic greenhouse? The answer to that really depends on also certain policy choices, how much these languages can be supported in community centers, in the school system. But certainly it's a great asset to the city and even to the country to have these languages. When you think about how much the country spends on training people to learn languages and the billion-dollar language teaching business, just the fact that we have these languages here should really be... People should be aware of it and appreciate it.
That is funny. Strip away people's native languages so that you can then send them to school to teach them languages.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because some languages are valued and some languages are not valued. There's an economy of languages, and these indigenous languages of Mexico are unfortunately today on the bottom of that economy.
Tindapi.
That's your language?
Yeah. Tindapi. Mixteco kai. I speak in different language, Mixteco, the name.
And what is it? How do you say that?
Tindapi. Tindapi.
Mixteco is the Nahuatl name for the language.
When you look at the so-called model minorities in New York and in America, the groups that immigrated and where the second generation became quite successful, in the case of the Eastern European Jews, the Chinese, they did not rush to assimilate. So I think it's a tremendous psychological strength. When children lack that, I think it can cause some angst, especially children who may look like they come from a certain place, and people will ask you, oh, you're from there, you can speak that, and then, no, they can't speak that. So in one sense, they're never accepted fully as a person from their parents' place, and they feel like they're not fully accepted as a local American.
Family relations. Los primeros, madre y padre, en inglés. En tu sabías nana tata, ¿no?
De cariño yo le digo papi o en náhuatl. Sí.
Husband.